Hey teachers, are you tired of dealing with prickly classroom problems like kids who won't stop talking or just won't follow your directions? I have got you covered. Join my free Seeds of SEL Cultivating Calm in Your Classroom Challenge. Starting on the Monday after you sign up, you can sign up anytime you like. Starting on that Monday, you will get 5 days with quick wins to try and seeds to plant for long-term success, plus tons of extra resources to keep your students thriving. Sign up now at kindergartencafe.org/challenge and let's grow your classroom from prickly to peaceful. Hey, teacher friends, it's Siba from Kindergarten Cafe. Last week, I talked all about how to support the self-confidence, how to develop self-confidence in our students. And I kept hinting that the next week, as in today, I will be talking about a case study where I support a student who can't handle making mistakes. I am sure we have all had students like this. I've had many over the years. They generally fall into like a couple of different categories where if they make a mistake, they cry. Or if they make a mistake, they just keep routinely asking for a new sheet because they made one small mistake and they can't handle the idea of erasing or like turning it into something. They always want a new sheet. The other side of it is the more, well, I guess crying is pretty disruptive, but I was going to say like disruptive side. It could be ripping up the paper, crumpling it up, putting it in the trash if they make a mistake, or simply just refusing to even do the work because they don't want to get it wrong. Whatever the outcome, the reason for this is probably the same. Coming from anxiety, perfectionism, fear of being wrong. I mean, it's all kind of tied in together. And so I want to go into how I handle this and what I do with these students. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Ziba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. So as I was saying, all of these behaviors can come from the emotional response of anxiety, of worries, of feeling out of control or just afraid of getting it wrong. They might be in their head, they might equate making a mistake with a failure or disappointment or potentially getting in trouble. Maybe they have had experience where making a mistake it led to getting in trouble, or they are comparing themselves to other kids and they don't want to make a mistake. They want to, because that is seen as getting it wrong. That's seen as not as good as the other kids. So why are those feelings happening? Definitely a lack of growth mindset is a huge, huge piece of this. For the majority of kids that struggled making mistake, they haven't developed that growth mindset yet. They haven't internalized the magic of yet. They think they should be perfect now. So making a mistake feels threatening, not helpful to them. And so that's one piece of it. That's a major piece of it. Maybe they have a lack of persistence, where they don't really know how to stick with something that challenges them. Maybe they haven't really had a lot of things that challenge them, so they're not used to having to stick with things that are hard, and they just try to avoid the unpleasant feeling that comes with struggle. I mean, no one really likes to struggle, right? It's easier to if it comes easy to you, right? Or finally, it could be a piece of anxiety, emotional regulation. For some students, making a mistake really triggers their anxiety or big behaviors. This could be the tears, the avoidance, shutting down, or even, like I said, ripping up the paper, crumpling it up, stuff like that. It's important to know the cause of the behavior, which you can gather from observations and trying different things out, but it will help you to know how to tackle the response. And I had students that struggle with making mistakes. The first thing that I do is rename it as a learning opportunity. Yay. Just simply saying, yay, you made a mistake. Now we get to fix it. Now we get to learn. Talking about how mistakes help our brains grow and that magic of yet. So like I said, I have a whole episode on specifically how to teach this. So if you haven't heard it yet, but definitely give that a listen if you have kids struggling with this. It's important that you do that explicit teaching when kids are not upset about making the mistake, that they learn that our brains need the struggle, our brains need mistakes so that we can learn. I talk about in the episode, but I love the Class Dojo mini episodes on this so that kids can see how their brains are learning. My fantastic Elastic Brain also really showcases how our brains learn and how they need the struggle to learn. But reframing your language around mistakes of, oh, yay, I get to teach you. Yay, we get to fix this. Oh, great, we're going to learn so much from this. That is really important. But when they make the mistake, that's not the time for the explicit teaching. It's just the time to sort of reframe your language around, yay, you made a mistake. We're going to learn from this. Let's fix this right now so our brains can learn. You also want to normalize mistakes in the classroom. Model them yourself. Oh, I wrote the wrong number. I wrote it backwards. Let me fix that. No big deal. That's a very small problem. I'm going to learn from this mistake. And celebrating anytime you see that in your students, even showing the whole class, like, oh, at first they said this, but they figured out that actually they had made a mistake. They wanted to fix it. They went back and they learned so much. Or even like, your mistake helped all of us learn as a whole class. Like, that's so helpful for us. Now we know that we need to make sure to count and move all of the pieces instead of whatever, so that we don't make a mistake, right? Like, you could say, like, your mistake helped us all learn. That's so helpful. But I wouldn't do that with kids that really struggle with making mistakes. That would be just so we know, just so we're clear. I wouldn't showcase a mistake to the whole class if it was someone that really struggled with it. But certainly showing, talking to the kid themselves, like, your mistake really helped you learn. Like, this is so helpful. I'm so glad that that happened, that we could learn from that mistake. Teaching the persistence skills explicitly is so important with kids that struggle with mistakes. And again, in the moment when they're struggling, not the time to explicitly teach that, but teach the whole class those explicit skills. I have a whole episode, I'm not going to get into it, on how to specifically teach persistence. The other thing you want to build up is that emotional regulation around anything, around anything that makes them really upset, but around specifically making mistakes. So pre-teaching, not in the moment, strategies for when they feel stuck or upset, taking deep breaths, going to the calm corner, control spot, I call it, taking a walk, using a phrase, you know, with you, like, I need a break, or can I take a walk, or can I try again? Like, using language. If there's someone that crumples up their paper, we want them to be able to start asking for a new paper. Like, that would be the next step. For kids that are constantly asking for the new paper, then we can teach them other strategies. But like, if they're being more aggressive about it by crumpling it up, throwing it away, ripping it up, like, we want to give them the language to teach them that emotional regulation piece. So, can I take a break? Can I try again? Can I have a new one? Stuff like that. And even like language to say out loud, I feel angry that this did not come out the way I wanted, or I had an idea in my head and this is not looking like that. I'm upset. But I would shorten those. Like, I feel sad because I made a mistake. I am angry because I got this wrong, right? Like, helping them to verbalize that, to label the feelings, and then we can help them move on from them. So, specific case studies and what I do. A child who's always crying when they are wrong. They specifically need a lesson in small problems, small reactions. And so that's a whole other unit that I have of size of the problem and problem solving. But after you've explicitly taught that, you can then say to the child, oh, is this a small problem or a big problem? Oh my gosh, this is so small. This is so small. We can just quickly do X and we can move on. It's such a small problem. So, for example, showing them that they can just erase and it's not a big deal, that they can use Fix-It tape. If you don't know Fix-It tape is the biggest cure for kids who struggle with making mistakes. It's by Post-it, I think. I have it on my Amazon, my store front, so I can share the link. It's basically just white tape that you can put over a piece of paper. You want to go over guidance with the kids when you're teaching them to use it, like just use a small piece because it's only for, or it's only for small mistakes, because I've had kids when I didn't explicitly teach them that, they would cover the entire paper in fix-it tape to start over. And that's not what we want because it doesn't grow on trees. So just for small mistakes. But, you know, if there's someone who cries when they make a mistake, that is a quick and easy, oh, this is such a small problem. Just get a small piece of fix-it tape. Then you can try over again, right? But if there's someone who's, this is happening a lot, encourage them to use a pencil first, because then they can erase it, right? And make sure you have a good eraser for them to use. But I think your reaction to, like, over time, like, it's going to happen more than once. If you're just saying, oh, that's such a small problem, let's go fix that, and you stay calm and you make it seem like it's not a big deal, they're going to learn over time that it really isn't a big deal. If they're really, really upset, then encourage them to go to your calm down corner and calm down first, and then say, once you're calmed down, once you've stopped crying, like, we can fix this together. No big deal. For the child who crumples up the paper, rips up the pages, throws it away, clearly you've got to work on that emotional regulation piece with them, and that's going to take time. I have lots of episodes on that. Also, happy one-on-one in coaching to walk through exactly what's going on with your student and how I would tackle it. But you also have to distinguish, like, are they ripping up the page and crumpling it away because they want to avoid the work? Or is it because they made a mistake, or they're afraid to make a mistake? If they're avoiding the work, are they avoiding it because they don't want to get it wrong, because it's hard for them, right? So think about all those things. I would not just let them get away with ripping it up and, like, not, okay, you don't have to do it. No, no, no. That's going to say, if you rip it up, you don't have to do any work. Like, that's not the lesson we want to teach them. I would get another copy, but I wouldn't give it to them right then and there. I would say, like, okay, your body's telling me you need a break. So take a minute in the control spot, calm down. And then I would give them the paper when they're calm and say, like, let's do this together. Or say, okay, I only want you to do the first half right now, and, like, fold up the paper so they can't even see the second half, because maybe it's overwhelming to them how much work you're expecting of them. Maybe it's hard for them. And so a really good accommodation for something like that is reducing the expectation, reducing the amount of work or the amount of time spent working. Not the expectation in the sense of, like, they don't have to do it, but in the sense of maybe they don't do as many problems as everyone else, or maybe they don't spend, as you know, 20 minutes on it, maybe they spend 5, and give some kind of reward for when they finish it. If you can, implement choice. Do you want to sit at your desk, or do you want to sit at my teacher table? If you have more than one adult and you're the one who's responding to them ripping up the paper, they're going to be angry with you. And so if you have another adult in the class, give them the choice. Do you want to work with me, or do you want to work with the other teacher? And 9 times out of 10, I bet they say the other teacher. And that's nothing personal to you. It's just the power of a second adult, of a change of face. If it was the other teacher that was responding to them, I bet they would pick you, right? It's not, don't take it personal. It just helps, because they have associated you with that negativity. And this is someone that definitely, like, is going to need a little bit over time. It's going to take a while to see the progress, but it will get there the more consistent you are. And it'll just be like itty bitty steps, but I promise you, like, you will see the progress eventually. It's not really a quick fix, but it's not supposed to be, because those don't last, right? The other thing I would say is, if they are ripping up the paper and crumpling it up or whatever, like I said before, we don't want to let them get away with not doing it all together. So, you know, maybe you would say, like, well, we can't do our fun thing until we've done this. And then just kind of ignore them until they've done it. Maybe they want space to do it. That's fine. Or maybe they're working with a teacher. You offer the choices, or I can help you, but we're not going to go do this next fun activity until you've done it. Or once you've done it, you can earn a free choice activity. You don't want to let them get away with not doing it. So that's important to think about. For the student who sits there not starting the activity, refuses to do it altogether, again, it's really important to know, is this that they're afraid of making a mistake or getting it wrong? Is it because they don't know how to do it, it's hard for them. I would kind of handle those differently. But I think bottom line, reducing the amount of work to start of like, okay, well, let's just start with these problems and giving choices. Do you want to do it with me or do you want to do it with the other teacher? Do you want to do it by yourself? Giving tools to help, like, do you want your alphabet chart here? Or do you want to try it with cubes first before we put it on the paper? The other thing is, do you have to do it on paper? If there's someone who's really, really, really struggling with mistakes, you could be creative and have them do it on a whiteboard because you can easily erase that, right? Okay, we don't have to do it on the paper, but let's do it on the whiteboard. And that way we can try it out and we can always erase it if we don't like it. Does it really have to be on paper? We as the teachers can be flexible in how the work is getting done if the act of putting it on paper is really stressing the student out. Maybe instead of writing the answer down in math on the paper, they act it out with cubes and they tell you what the answer is. Great. Okay, well, let's not even give them the paper. Let's just say, let's do it together with cubes. That sort of takes away the finished product anxiety around you're either right or you're wrong and really helps them to accomplish the actual learning task that you're trying to do. So I think being creative in our expectations for kids that really, really, really struggle with making mistakes is important. So how do we support a kid that is afraid of making a mistake, that has a really hard time with making a mistake? One thing I want to make sure we all remember from this lesson, fix-it tape. It is makes such a difference when you have kids that struggle with making mistakes. Definitely encourage you to try that out. But the other thing is you want to tag team it. You want to explicitly teach to the whole class when kids are calm and feeling good about growth mindset, persistence, how do we handle mistakes, emotional regulation, all that stuff. And at the same time, responding to kids in a way that normalizes mistakes, shows the value of mistakes and hard work, praises that. And then when you see it in action happening right in front of you, they've crumpled up the paper, they've asked for a new paper, you can try out some of those strategies of reminding them the size of the problem or reminding them that they can erase it or try again. Or like I said, with the more extreme cases of being flexible with how they show their learning, whether it's reducing the amount of work or changing how they show what they've learned, whether on a whiteboard or with acting it out with cubes, stuff like that. But not letting them get away with just not doing it. I think that's important. The other thing I forgot to mention is a very specific kind of afraid to make a mistake thing that I've seen, which is around English language learners. Students who have moved here and not speaking the language, you will have students, when you have students move who don't speak the language, you will have students that are afraid to even try speaking English, and they will stay silent for a longer period of time than other students. This is normal, and it usually stems from being afraid to start talking and make a mistake. So just be extra patient with them and not push them too hard. Be creative in how they can show their learning without talking about it or writing about it. I have a whole episode on supporting students who are learning English, but that is a very specific kind of like afraid to make a mistake, where it's afraid to try out using the language. And I think, again, over time, you normalizing your own mistakes or your own language imperfections, purposely making language imperfections and then saying, whoops, that's okay, I said that wrong, let me try that again, will help build a culture of mistakes are okay, mistakes are how we learn. And over time, you'll see kids get better at that. And if they try to say anything at all, major praise with them. Yes, oh, yes, you can go to the bathroom. Oh, I'm so excited that you asked. I'm so great that you used your words in English to ask to use the bathroom. That's so great. So all that to say, so many ideas for supporting kids who struggle with making mistakes. And if you are having a specific case that is perfect for my one-on-one coaching, you can sign up anytime. You can reach out to me and see if it's a good fit. But I love supporting teachers with specific problems that they're seeing in their students in their classroom, because it's one thing for me to get up here and say all the things that I have seen in my classroom or the generic ideas. But if I'm actually knowing more about what's going on with that particular child, I'm able to be a lot more specific with my suggestions to you. So If you're seeing a struggle in your class, sign up. I would love to help. And like I've said, lots of resources in this episode to connect with more for more support. Previous podcast episodes, social emotional learning resources, units, lessons, activities, all of the above. Definitely check those out if you are having kids that struggle. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.